evening comes from the Old Testament, a story that's very familiar to us. Our lesson is entitled Caleb's Sermon. Think about Caleb's life and you think, when did Caleb preach a sermon? Well, sermons sometimes are simply characterized by statements that people have made. And it doesn't have to be a lengthy thing in order for it to be a sermon, in order for it to have some substance to it. And that's the case with Caleb. You recall that the children of Israel, following a two-year period in the wilderness, counting a one-year period in Mount Sinai, came to the waters of Jordan. They were preparing to cross to the other side. They sent 12 spies into the land, not to determine whether or not they would go into the land, but some plan for how they would go in and occupy the land. At least that was the plan. That was their thoughts, the thoughts that God had given them. And so Moses sent these 12 men into that land to spy it out. And yet when they came back, they had not accomplished the task. They had not planned on how they would do that, but had determined themselves whether or not they would do that. So that's the background of what we have. In Numbers 13, beginning of verse 27, the Bible says, "And they told him," that is, those spies told Moses, "and said, We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless," there's one of those words that we should underline in our minds. Here we've said, we did what you told us to do, here are the fruits of the land, boy, it's a wonderful land, but, here comes the rest of the story. "The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." That shouldn't have been a surprise to them. That's what God told them. They were occupants in the land, and you're to go and take them. I'm with you. Don't worry about them. I'll take care of that. But they came and give a report as if we were surprised. There's actually people over there. That's what God had told them. And Caleb, notice, stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched upon the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight." We don't have it in this account, but Joshua was also with Caleb in that group, and Joshua and Caleb both said, "We're able to do this." But here, Caleb is the outspoken one. Caleb is the focus on this instance. They had come to the borders of Canaan. As we said, the spies went in to prepare. They didn't go in to determine whether or not we were to go in, or they were to go in, but they went to determine how that was to be done. And yet it turned into a mission of whether or not we would go. Two different reports. From the 10, we have obstacles that outweighed the opportunities. From the 2, Joshua and Caleb, we have opportunities that outweigh the obstacles. Each of us then can choose sides, whether we're going to be with the 10 and see that we have obstacles that outweigh the opportunity. Whether we'll side with Joshua and Caleb, we have opportunities that outweigh the obstacles. Caleb's sermon is clear. Notice what he said, and we read it, but here highlighted. Caleb stilled the people before Moses, notice, and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, but we are well able to overcome it." Think about what Caleb said here in the midst of these naysayers, in the midst of the people who had already put a wet blanket on everything. The people, because they had already listened to the 10 spies, really didn't pay much attention to what Caleb said. But he said, "Let's go up right now. We're well able to take that." That was his determination. That was his sermon. His sermon was clear then. His message, applicable to us today. Remember that Jesus in John chapter 4 encountered the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well and began to speak to her. And in the course of that, he said to her, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. She said, we worship in this mountain. And she said, he said, you worship you know not what. We know what we worship, salvation of the Jews. He told her about her life. And he said, go and get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right. You've had many husbands. The one you're with now is not really him. She said, you must be a prophet. Once she had talked with him, she went to get to the city to bring other people to them. And in the meantime, the disciples, you remember, came back. They had gone to get something to eat, and they brought something back for Jesus. And they saw that she was talking to the Samaritan woman. They were amazed about that. So she left to go get others, and when Jesus spoke to his people, his apostles, he said, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white already to harvest. I mentioned before that Samaritans had according to many, they had a culture that they wore white garments. And if that's the case, and it might well be, that as Jesus made this statement, he could look as well as the apostles and see some of those Samaritans coming back at the behest of that woman. And there they were dressed in white. That would make a lot more significance to what Jesus said. He said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white to harvest already. And here came some of those Samaritans, if indeed they were dressed in white. But the same kind of idea today. We can see that obstacles outweigh our opportunities. Or we can see that opportunities outweigh our obstacles. In Caleb's sermon, notice some things that he emphasized. First, agreement. He said, let us. Here's Caleb's sermon then. A short one-sentence sermon, but so impactful from the standpoint of what it presented. Caleb said unto the people before Moses and said, let us. Here then we see agreement. To do great things together, we must work together, of course. Like Caleb, it is not a they and them proposition. It is a we and us, as it was with him. John 17, 20 and 21. Jesus in his prayer, likely in the upper room, following the Passover he enjoyed with his disciples and the establishment of the Lord's Supper, said, among other things, neither pray I for these alone, that is, those apostles assembled with him, 11 at the time. Of course, we know that one had left. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also who shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art me. I indeed, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Unity. Agreement. Remember, Caleb's sermon began with, let us. We find also in Ephesians 4 and verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Psalm 122, the psalmist said, is a blessing to see unity among brethren. Amos said it this way, can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos, in context, is talking about man and God. Can we walk together with God unless we're agreed with Him? Well, the answer, of course, is no. Rhetorical question. But it also applies to each of us. Can we walk together except we be agreed? To truly be unified, we must put the past behind us and forget. Paul reminded the Philippians of that. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are before, I press toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The story was told that after the Civil War, Robert E. Lee visited Kentucky, and a lady there who had a tree in front of her house that had been there for a long time, and she took General Lee out to the tree and showed him how the limbs had been destroyed and the bullets and other scars of war had completely devastated the old tree. She wanted some sympathy from Lee. She wanted him to condemn the Northern aggression against them. After a moment, General Lee simply looked at the lady and said, cut it down, my dear madam. Cut it down and forget it. Well, that's what we have to do many times in order to work together. These people needed to forget about the journey in the wilderness and look forward to what they had before them. Yet they failed to do that. Sometimes our obstacles become ourselves or are ourselves. Obstacles outweigh opportunities to many. But to Caleb, the opportunity outweighed the obstacles. Let us, agreement. But the second thing was action. He said, go up. Just two words, but how impactful they were. Remember in Numbers 13:30, he said unto people, let us go up. Well, action. In Acts 2 and verse 40, Peter. The Bible, Luke says, records with Peter's sermon, with many other words, that he testifies and exhorts, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That's what Caleb was saying. Let's go up. Let's do it ourselves. God has told us we could. And with his backing, there's nothing we can't accomplish. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. There's a part that man has to play in his salvation, in our obedience to the Lord. Philippians 2 and verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It involves action, obedience. Let us go up. In other words, let's do what the Lord has commanded us to do. Ephesians 2 and verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Most people will recognize the two verses that precede this. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They recognize Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. But verse 10 says, we are his workmanship. For what purpose were we created, Paul? Created unto good works. To be obedient to him. Remember what Caleb said, let us go up. We have to obey what he tells us. We have to have the mentality of Isaiah. Isaiah records, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. The proper mentality, the kind of mentality that Caleb possessed, that we must as well. Let us go up. Romans 1 and verse 15, Paul said, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. Someone has written, am I a power or a problem? Am I an attender or an absentee? Am I a servant or a shirker? Am I a promoter or a provoker? Am I a giver or am I a getter? Am I a supporter or am I a sleeper? Am I a helper or am I a hinderer? Am I a lifter or am I a leaner? Let's ask then, if every member of the local church was the same kind of member that I am, what kind of congregation would the church have? People should often ask, Lord, is it I? Am I the obstacle? We said earlier, many times the obstacles are we ourselves. Matthew 26 and verse 22. They were exceeding sorrowful and began everyone to say unto him, Lord, is it I? On this occasion, when the Lord had mentioned that one would betray them, would betray him, they looked about and said, Lord, is it I? Sometimes perhaps we need to look inwardly. That's what Caleb was trying to get those people to do. He said, let us, agreement, go up, action. But third, he calls attention at once. Be attentive. Let us go up at once. Notice the combination of those words. Let us, here's agreement, go up, there's action, at once. Here's attention. Here's something that needs our thoughts right now. If it needs doing, then it needs attention now. We have indications of this in Scripture. Caleb said at once, of course. In Acts 16:33, the Philippian jailer took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. We know that Paul and Silas were singing praises at midnight. And so it was after the midnight hour in which this occurred, likely in the wee hours of the morning, as we would say, 2 or 3 o'clock after Paul had taught him the gospel. The same hour of the night, notice. It was important to him. It needed doing. So just do it now. Acts 22 and verse 16. Ananias told Saul, and now why tarriest thou? What are you waiting for? Rise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If it needs doing, then it deserves our attention now. That's what Caleb was saying. Let us go up at once. It needs our attention. We find in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, Paul, in this parenthetical statement, for he said, I have heard thee in a time appointed, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We need to understand the urgency. And that's what Caleb was saying. Let's go up at once. He was trying to get the momentum back from the 10 spies who said, we're not really able to do this. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Caleb was saying, we need to do it. And we need to strike, as we would say, while the iron's hot. Matthew 16 and verse 26, Jesus says, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? Lose his own soul. What about the urgency of evangelism? Millions untold are dying without the gospel. If we ever truly realize the cause that we represent and the strength of it, then we will become urgent about what we're doing. That's what Caleb was saying. Let's go up at once. and do this. A man saw a small 300-pound elephant shackled to a stake. And no matter how much the young elephant tried to move the stake, he couldn't. But then he encountered also a 10-ton elephant who was staked to the same size stake as the 300-pound elephant. And he asked the circus individual, the circus worker there, how is it that the elephant didn't just pull the stake up? The 10-ton elephant certainly could do that. To which he replied, if the elephant ever realized how strong he was, we'd never be able to keep him staked. But those elephants had yearned all the way up, that they couldn't move it, and so when they felt resistance, they tried not to pull it. But they didn't realize how strong they had become. If so, the stake wouldn't have held them. So it is with us. If we realize our cause, if we realize what we can accomplish, the devil himself will not be able to keep us tied to the stake, if you will. Agreement, let us. Then there's action, go up. Then there's attention at once. But then there's accomplishment and possess it. Not just the going, but a goal in the going, a goal of possessing that which they should. Notice he said, let us go up at once and possess it. Lord Chesterfield said, aim at perfection in everything, though in most things it is unattainable. However, they who aim at it and persevere will come much nearer to it than those whose laziness and despondency make them give up as unattainable. Yeah, some things are difficult to accomplish, but they can be done, even though they might be difficult. Remember that John the Baptizer didn't wear soft clothing. He didn't live in a king's house. Jesus said about him, "Behold, what you ought to see, a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses." But he drew Jesus' greatest compliment. Jesus said, among them that are born of women, there are not arisen greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Why would he say that? Well, as far as John's character is concerned, none greater than he, but he wasn't a part of the kingdom. He died before the kingdom was established. And so Jesus made the statement, he that is least in the kingdom is greater than this man who was greater than all in Jesus' estimation. He drew his greatest compliment. Paul was, of course, in weariness and painfulness. He mentioned those of Corinth, of the Jews. 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one, remember? Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. Night and the day have I been in the deep. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. Even though these things were in opposition to him, he still could say as Caleb did, let us go up at once and possess it. Let's go up at once and do what the Lord has told us to do. The opportunities outweighed the obstacles with these men, John the Baptizer, with Paul. But also Jesus chose the way of the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross. He didn't choose the easy way, he chose the hard way. In the realm of evangelism, the possession is in planting and watering. God is responsible for the increase. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We're not responsible for making the plants grow. We're responsible for sowing the seed, for watering and nurturing as we can. But it's God who causes it to grow. And so when we realize our responsibility, it's ours to go up at once and possess it, if you will, in regards to evangelism. About the easy way, someone has said, the easy way is to drop out of school when classes are hard but education is worthwhile. The easy way is to quit when the boss gets on our case, but those who learn and stay get promoted. The easy way is to divorce when the inevitable trouble comes, but 50th wedding anniversaries are sweet. The easy way is to give in to teen rebellion and let them do what they want, but seeing them through it is a rewarding experience. Easy way is to quit serving the Lord when we make an embarrassing mistake, but heaven is too wonderful to miss. The easy way is to hold a grudge against a brother who hurts me, but forgiveness makes the pillow soft. The easy way is to let our lost friends alone, but seeing them become Christians is one of life's great joys. There was then agreement, let us. There was action, go up. There was attention at once. There was accomplishment. And possess it. But then we find also ability. Caleb made the statement, for we are well able. contrary to what these 10 men were saying, well, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. There's no way we can take care of these people. You know, there are some people there that are giants. There are people there that are tall. The walls are, you wouldn't believe the size of these cities. We just can't do it. But Caleb said, we are well able. And he finishes his sermon with this idea of ability. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so the choice becomes ours, as it was with Caleb's audience, the people of Israel, who were downtrodden now because of the spies' report, those 10 men, but the opportunity came before them. Did the obstacles outweigh the opportunity? We know the rest of the story with Caleb and with Israel. Yes, it did. For them, the obstacles became too great, and the opportunities were left without having been taken advantage of. But we also must ask, are the opportunities outweighing the obstacles? In the eyes of Joshua and Caleb, yes, the opportunities were far greater than the obstacles, which might prevent them from taking advantage of them. But we know that the naysayers won out. How will it be with us? When we see opportunity before us, do we see the obstacles? Do we see the forest to the neglect of the trees? Or do we see the opportunities first? Like the spies, we've been sent into the world not to determine whether or not we will go, but to determine the plan of attack. Because once God has determined that we are to go, we can't decide whether or not we will. We can only decide the route that we will take. At age 40, Caleb said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Age 40. As a result of this decision that was made by the people, 603,548 died, never entering the promised land. As a result of their decision, Joshua and Caleb were the only two of that generation to enter in that promised land. Why? Because they had the mentality, we are well able. Let us go in and possess it. Let's fast forward as we conclude our thoughts to Caleb's 85th birthday. 85 years in total. 45 years in the present. The Bible says, 40 years old was I, Caleb speaking, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. He's reflecting back now on this very time in Numbers 13. Now here we are in the book of Joshua. 40 years old was I, and I brought him word again, and it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Now all 10 of those men were dead. Not only that, but all that generation was now dead, as he speaks. He said, and I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85 now, and as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day when Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If it be so, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. What a tremendous sermon by Caleb. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able. We should have the same mentality as Caleb did when it comes to obeying God, when it comes to being obedient to the Great Commission, among other things, and look at the opportunities. See how they outweigh the obstacles. Rather than doing as those unfaithful spies, seeing the obstacles to the exclusion of the opportunities. If all we see is the obstacles, we'll never take advantage of the opportunities. But if we see the opportunities, the obstacles will certainly be diminished in our sight. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able. It's true of all of God's commands. As we've seen, there were obstacles in the way of everyone. There'll be obstacles in our way. But with the Lord on our side, as Caleb would later say, give me this mountain. Because with God's help, we can overcome and take it. Tonight, if you're not a member of the body of Christ and listening via recorded message, you must believe Jesus to be the Son of God. John 8 and verse 24, you must repent of your sins. Acts 17:30, you must confess the name of Christ before me in Romans 10, 9 and 10, and be baptized for the remission of sins in order to be a Christian, to become a Christian, to be a faithful child of God. That's the beginning point. It's not an end. That's the beginning. We walk in the light of His Word, 1 John 1 and verse 7, growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, maturing as Christians. As children of God, sometimes we fall away. Sometimes we take steps back instead of going forward. As we notice with the seven churches of Asia, at least with five of them anyway, we notice there were problems in their midst and they were called upon to repent. Tonight, you see yourself as one of the 10 spies that sees the obstacles instead of the opportunities. Then tonight, make those things right with you and God. Ask His forgiveness and determine in your own mind and make the vow to God, I'm going to see the opportunities to the exclusion of the obstacles. The opportunities are going to outweigh the obstacles in my Christian life. Can we assist you in making a change tonight? If so, won't you come while we stand and sing together?